Blog Talk Radio.
Costs for correctional facilities, or in other words, prisons, quadrupling in the past 20 years to $52 billion in the U.S. With taxpayers on the hook for much of that, is there a way you can actually make crime pay? Our next guest says, you bet. Reva Shakatai is Senior Vice President at RBC Wealth Management, and she joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Reva.
Thank you, Dennis.
So let's just go broad picture first. The U.S. is the most prison-prone country in the world, right? Tell us about that.
We have 2.3 million inmates in the state prison system, in the federal prison system, and in local jails. There is a difference between prison and jail.
Yes, it's a 1 year, but it doesn't matter. It's not diverse. Louisiana, 1 in 86 people.
1 in 86, absolutely. If you look at the country as a whole, it's 1 in 104. But if you look at both parolees and probation in addition, it's 1 in 33 people who are in the state or federal prison system.
Right, and California has 7 times as many prisoners as Iran, the entire country does.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so there's clearly demand here. Now, most times when people think about trying to make money on prisons, they look at the publicly held prison, for-profit prison companies. You've got CXW and GEO. But you think those guys might be kind of played out. Why is that?
Well, the growth of those types of companies really happened post 9/11 when the U.S. Marshals Service and ICE, which is Immigration Customs Enforcement, got the contracts to detain immigrants. So 50% of all immigrant detainees are in the private prisons. They adopted the approach, if you build it, they will come. But there's a mismatch with the need. They have excess capacity, but it doesn't exactly fill the need of the public prison system.
Okay, but those aren't where they need to be. So if we get rid of CXW and GEO, instead, you like a couple of actual California state prison bonds. Tell us about those.
California operates just about the biggest prison system in the country. You have an occupancy rate of these prisons of 155%. The demand definitely outstrips the supply. So there's a segment of the fixed income market called lease revenue bonds. And this is a play on the municipal bond market. It's a more conservative approach to playing the prison market. A lease revenue bond that plays the prisons compared to a general obligation bond of the same maturity can yield 10 to 50% more.
A prison bond more than a regular government bond from a local government?
From a state government.
Right.
So from a California GO perspective. I'm not talking about jail bonds. Those are highly speculative, and that's where you hear about the defaults in the prison market.
I see. Now, in addition to California, are all state bonds kind of safe to look at for prison purposes? Do all state bonds pay higher than their regular general obligation bonds?
There's a couple of states that you can really look to, like California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Michigan. These are the biggest issuers of the lease revenue bonds that fund correctional facilities. So for an income-hungry investor that's looking for relative value, I think there's a huge opportunity in these bonds that are absolutely underfollowed by the market.
And they're tax-free as well,
right? They're tax-free income, absolutely.
Okay. And part of this plays into your theme. You know, your clients call you the grave dancer because you like to put money into things where the customer has little choice. You feel like cigarettes, people are addicted, gambling even has some addicts, and certainly in prison the customers have no choice but to be customers, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no other place to go. I think that the country will stop at nothing to protect public safety. So I think that the prison market's a great place to be.
So why not profit from it? All right, thank you very much for being with us, Reva Shakatai. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
I'm willing to take responsibility and liability for this warrant. Okay, here's your warrant. So now they come in 2 o'clock in the morning, they kick down the door, they hit the family up.
I just see how you do.
The Bill of Rights, man, check in with me. You know, let me know. You know, help me dissect this a little bit because this is really fun to me. You know what I'm saying? It's serious, but it's fun. So I'm gonna play this clip real quick. All right, let's go.
The 9th and 10th Amendments. If you're only going to memorize two, memorize these. The 9th and 10th Amendments work like bookends. The Founding Fathers were really, really smart guys. They had studied the Greeks, the Romans. They had studied just about every democracy that had existed prior to 1776. They understood people. They understood that they were mortal. They understood that they were fallible, and they understood that there were flaws in the Constitution. So they set up to try to close the loopholes. The Ninth Amendment, it didn't write really well. It was kind of like the end of the day. They wanted to go home. So they're poorly worded as far as I'm concerned. But the Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. Enumeration, listing, numbering. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about your right to have children? No. Do you have a right to have children? Yeah. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about the right to travel? No. Do you have a right to travel? Yes. And so the Ninth Amendment basically says the Bill of Rights is not a comprehensive list. We don't have enough paper to write down all of the rights that you have. These were just some of the ones that we thought were most important. I don't agree with Alexander Hamilton a lot, but Alexander Hamilton says you really don't want a Bill of Rights. Why would you make a partial list? I know it sounds really, really crazy, but if you write a Bill of Rights, if you put a small modified list and add it to the Constitution, somebody down the line is going to come up with this really crazy idea that the Bill of Rights are the only rights that you have, and if it's not listed in the Bill of Rights, you can't do it. Hypothetical, huh?
You feel me? Those are the things, man, where you really have to sit down and say, okay, what are my rights? What am I being protected under? You know, like he said, hey, check this out. Am I wrong?
Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
Hey, you, yeah, you. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WESTERNWORLD1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
Do you suffer from degenerative diseases such as high blood pressure, diabetes, fibroid tumor, high cholesterol, genital herpes, or a plethora of other diseases that rob you of a quality life? If so, then visit the website of herbalist Tahuti Ma'atra at dhealthstore.com and open the door to natural healing at an affordable price. dhealthstore.com has over 1,800 products created by herbalist Tahuti Ma'atra, specifically designed to help you heal the natural and safe way. At DHealthStore.com, you'll find everything from herbal formulas and cleanses, such as Tahuti's famous Full Body Detox, as well as herbal teas, extracts, natural body butter, lotions, creams, children's products, hair care products, and of course, sexual enhancement products for both men and women. So visit the website of Tahuti Ma'atra, DHealthStore.com, or call toll-free at 1-888-823-9416. DHealthStore.com.
On Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
A
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You got to have your bars ready. You got to have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. You got to be entertaining, bro. Go to westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. WesternWorld1.com. That's www.WESTONWORLDONE.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday. Each and every 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go. Let's go.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorld1.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorld1.com.
If you're only going to memorize two, memorize these. The Ninth and Tenth Amendments work like bookends. The Founding Fathers were really, really smart guys. They had studied the Greeks, the Romans. They had studied just about every democracy that had existed prior to 1776. They understood people. They understood that they were mortal. They understood that they were fallible. And they understood that there were flaws in the Constitution. So they set up to try to close the loopholes. The Ninth Amendment, it didn't write really well. It was kind of like the end of the day. They wanted to go home. So they're poorly worded as far as I'm concerned. But the Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. Enumeration, listing, numbering. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about your right to have children? No. Do you have a right to have children? Yeah. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about the right to travel? No. Do you have a right to travel? Yes. And so the Ninth Amendment basically says the Bill of Rights is not a comprehensive list. We don't have enough paper to write down all of the rights that you have. These were just some of the ones that we thought were most important. I don't agree with Alexander Hamilton a lot, but Alexander Hamilton says you really don't want a Bill of Rights. Why would you make a partial list? I know it sounds really, really crazy. But if you write a Bill of Rights, if you put a small modified list and add it to the Constitution, somebody down the line is going to come up with this really crazy idea that the Bill of Rights are the only rights that you have, and if it's not listed in the Bill of Rights, you can't do it. Hypothetical, huh?
Wow. I mean, it's crazy, man. You know how we sit back, man, and we try to, you know, go into the, you know, the element, man, of trying to learn, man. You know, and when you learn something, it's almost like, Dad, do you really want to know all this information, man? But the answer to that is, yes, I do. You know, I don't care. You know, so tell me, you know, and everything that I need to know. So that way I can live in this world peacefully. You know, well, it won't never be peacefully because all the stuff that you have, that you learn now from back then, it's kind of crazy because you always wanted to, you know what I'm saying, you know, go back in time. If you go back in time, change some things or whatever. Basically, to make a long story short is, man, hey, man, I want to have... A nice little, you know, record. If I was a person that was a record deal, that's what we call it. criminology, meaning that, you know, going to jail and stuff like that, you got a little rap sheet or whatever. You know, I mean, I know that's what a lot of brothers are thinking right now, man. Like, hey, man, if I'd have known these type of amendments or my rights, whatever, you know, from back then up until now, man, yeah, I wouldn't be in a position or predicament. You know what I'm saying? And I believe when I say something about the 14th Amendment, this is what the Moors are practicing. You know what I'm saying? How it's a peace trade. How they say United States of America is really not a country. Saying it's a business. It's a contract agreement. You know, like the birth certificate. When you sign a birth certificate, you get a social security number. You sign a contract that you are a citizen here to this world. Man, we finna get deep. You just thought I didn't know that, huh?
Supposed to be first and foremost citizens of their respective states. As of 1787, those states already had formed a union, and they created the Constitution for the purpose of perfecting that union in forming a national government. They did not intend that the new nation have any jurisdiction or powers over the states or their citizens that were not specifically enumerated in the Constitution. They stated this point quite clearly in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. They granted the United States exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may become the seat of the government of the United States, our District of Columbia, and to exercise authority over all places purchased by the consent of the states. And that is all. The framers further secured the rights of the people with the 9th and 10th Amendments in the Bill of Rights. In the 9th, they established that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And in the 10th, they made clear that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The only way the federal government can have any jurisdiction beyond these constitutional clauses is by written permission or contract, which leads us to another piece of the puzzle, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified in 1868 following the Civil War. As barbaric as it may sound today, the black slaves, prior to the conclusion of the Civil War, were legally considered to be property, with none of the rights or privileges of free-born people, only duties. The money interests took advantage of America's desire to free the slaves and found a way to use the swiftly adopted post-war constitutional amendments to enslave all of the people. The deceit is in the wording of both the 13th and 14th Amendments. You will note that the 13th Amendment provides that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States. But why the emphasis on involuntary servitude? Isn't it the same thing as slavery? Sure it is. But they had to mention the concept of involuntary servitude because they wished to retain another type of slavery, voluntary servitude. Voluntary servitude is an ancient and established concept. It was the way serfs became subjects to their lords during feudal times in England and other European countries. It was a way for free men to earn a living at a time when all property was held by a select few, and thus anyone who wanted to farm and support their family had first to agree to be subject to a lord of the land. Our forefathers hated this concept and designed our Constitution to exclude titles of nobility, making all Americans sovereign. The 14th Amendment turned the intention of the founders on its ear by making voluntary servitude a requirement for former slaves to gain the rights already guaranteed to freeborn United States citizens. When the slaves were released from their involuntary servitude following the war, their status was changed from that of being property to that of being a person. But being a person still entitled them to none of the rights associated with citizenship. So the 14th Amendment ostensibly was written to provide the former slaves with the same constitutional rights of freeborn American citizens, but only if they agreed first to become subject to the jurisdiction of the corporate United States. making oneself paramount.
Wow.
Powerful, right? Okay. Okay. I'm going to play it again, though. I'm going to play part two now. I'm going to play part two. Then I'm going to go back to part one. I'm going to play part two because I know people listening and they following me, all right? Here go part two. All right, this is the 14th Amendment of Citizenship. Let's go.
Lee, that is first subject to the jurisdiction of the laws of the United States, however, limits access to parts of the Bill of Rights, as we'll explain in a moment. But first remember, anyone who voluntarily subjects himself to the laws or jurisdiction of another is, in every way, obligated to abide by the terms of any contracts or laws established by whomever establishes the rules of the contract. In simple terms, this meant that the former slaves became subjects first to the United States, and secondly to the state in which they lived. They had no sovereignty whatsoever. This status had never existed in the United States prior to that time. The 14th Amendment created a new class of citizenship in the United States, a second-class citizenship. Up until 1868, every American was a paramount citizen of their state, and by virtue of that, also a citizen of the United States, with full individual sovereignty as guaranteed by Amendments 9 and 10 in the Bill of Rights. But so-called naturalized citizens, or 14th Amendment citizens, are paramountly subject to all laws of the United States, and, having no status as freeborn citizens, have no access at all to the unenumerated rights retained for the people by Articles 9 and 10 of the Bill of Rights. That's because, in order to get any rights at all, they had to subject themselves to the jurisdiction of the corporate United States, which left them no unenumerated rights. The only rights they had were those specifically written into the Constitution. The sad tragedy of America today is that all U.S. citizens, regardless of race, are now 14th Amendment slaves due to contracts with the government of the United States through Social Security, birth certificates, driving licenses, citizenship statements, tax forms, and many other documents. The true paramount citizenship that all Americans deserve is that of their respective state, which is a sovereign citizenship. Such status would exempt them from federal and state income taxes, as well as property and inheritance taxes. This sovereign citizenship was the status held by our forefathers. Now, if you're still thinking that the U.S. government needs to have a central bank and collect income tax or it will collapse, think again. Over two-thirds of the federal government's income is derived from sources other than income tax. There is even evidence suggesting that none of your income tax is used by the government. Fees, excise taxes, tariffs, sales taxes, and other forms of income have easily supported the U.S. budget in the past and could easily support it now. We have done without a national bank for large stretches of our history, and the U.S. Treasury is perfectly capable of printing and managing a money supply. In fact, the only constitutionally sanctioned currency is backed by gold or other precious metals. This is a far more stable form of currency and is the type of money the Treasury was designed to handle. The government was doing so well collecting money under these original laws that it had amassed a huge surplus by the time this cartoon was penned 100 years later in 1887, when there still was no income tax collected at all. Up to this point, we have shown you how the money interests have, one, established the Federal Reserve System, and two, exploited a second class of citizenship created by the 14th Amendment for other purposes, and we have mentioned a few names involved in the creation of the Fed. But there are other organizations working for our economic enslavement as well, along with other extremely rich and powerful international bankers. Those who support the Fed have created a global movement to centralize economic power in various puppet organizations that preach peace and stability through some variation of socialism, but act aggressively to draw nations into a web of foreign debt and servitude to their agenda. The United Nations, the World Monetary Fund, and the Council on Foreign Relations are all committed to an agenda of world domination through manipulation of economic power. The Council on Foreign Relations openly admits to being a private club, yet it is the primary recruiting post in both international banking and the federal government of the United States. Richard Nixon, Nelson Rockefeller, John Foster Dulles, Dean Rusk, Alger Hiss, Robert S. McNamara, and every president since FDR, with the exception of John Kennedy, have been members of this exclusive club where super financiers and your elected representatives can mix freely and plan the next step in the consolidation of power in a new world order.
Wow.
Man, bro, I ain't even going to lie to you. Let me be something clear about this. Let me be clear about this.
Hey, wait, let me bring you in right. Let me bring you in right, man. Hold on.
You can bring me in, man. You bring me in, but I think you need to play this, that more often. Now you go ahead and bring me in. You need to play that more often than what you're playing. Matter of fact, I think you need to open up every show. Every time, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with that right there, you need to constantly keep playing that because so people understand that you're in a system of being a slave. We're not free. A system of being a slave. Right, my daughter even said, I cannot be a slave. She just didn't realize once they gave her that social security number, she was a slave. She was a branded beast at every beast. Go ahead. Hello?
People, man, for those of men that just tuned in, man, that was LB, man. I'm up for Charles Baxter. We wait for him to get back in, man. I know it was just like, man, real serious, man, because think about it, man, the 9th, the 10th, and the 14th Amendment, man, is just they all going hand in hand. I didn't even, you know, because we did the 13th Amendment already. You know, the 11th and 12th Amendment is cool. You know what I'm saying? But 9th, 10th, 13th, and 14th Amendment. You know, 13th Amendment is really pretty much slavery of the state. You know what I'm saying? Saying that you're not a slavery of the state unless you get arrested or you do something, a crime, and then now you are a slave to the state. Now, the 14th Amendment is really just saying it's with involuntary, involuntary. It's a big difference. So, it's like, man, like Brother Charles said, man, it's needed, you know what I'm saying, with our community. We need to know stuff, man, all the time. All the time. All right, there you go, man. All the time. There you go, man. Without further ado, man. Charles Baxter, man. What's up, bro?
Nothing much, brother. How's everything going with you?
Great, man. Everything going good, man.
I appreciated that you, I apologize, first of all, for coming in this late. Been busy, on a Sunday trying to facilitate things. But that clip that you just played was told to me a long time ago that as soon as you got your Social Security number, you became a slave. You were no longer And the funny thing that is, what is so funny is, I took a young lady out yesterday, and I truly believe that this is the one. I believe that she's gonna be my wife. But man, I took her out yesterday. We went to watch that movie, Winnie Mandela. And just looking at the fight and what they had to go through in South Africa in the apartheid, you know, it was just amazing. And then here you come back over, you shift ideas from another country in South Africa, which is on a whole totally different continent, to this country over here in this continent called North America, where we are still experiencing the same thing as of apartheid. A lot of the same things as of apartheid. And the shackles are not physical. They're mental. They're spiritual. They have you fooled that you are free, but in all actuality, you have never been free. And you're now more so a slave than you were a slave with physical shackles. You are now more so of a slave now than you were with physical shackles, because you can't go anywhere now without them having an eye on you.
Isn't this crazy? It's crazy, B. You know what's the
Ninth and Tenth Amendments. If you're only going to memorize two, memorize these. The Ninth and Tenth Amendments work like bookends. The Founding Fathers were really, really smart guys. They had studied the Greeks, the Romans. They had studied just about every democracy that had existed prior to 1776. They understood people. They understood that they were mortal. They understood that they were fallible. And they understood that there were flaws in the Constitution. So they set up to try to close the loopholes. The Ninth Amendment. It didn't write really well. It was kind of like the end of the day. They wanted to go home. So they're poorly worded as far as I'm concerned. But the Ninth Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. Enumeration, listing, numbering. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about your right to have children? No. Do you have a right to have children? Yeah. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about the right to travel? No. Do you have a right to travel? Yes. And so the Ninth Amendment basically says the Bill of Rights is not a comprehensive list. We don't have enough paper to write down all of the rights that you have. These were just some of the ones that we thought were most important. I don't agree with Alexander Hamilton a lot, but Alexander Hamilton says you really don't want a Bill of Rights. Why would you make a partial list? I know it sounds really, really crazy, but if you write a Bill of Rights, if you put a small modified list and add it to the Constitution, somebody down the line is going to come up with this really crazy idea that the Bill of Rights are the only rights that you have, and if it's not listed in the Bill of Rights, you can't do it. Hypothetical, huh?
Wow. What you think, LB? Charles.
Hey, bro, I'm just like, you know, and still to this day, they're thinking of how to mend all of the loopholes that they have. And I'm gonna I'm gonna say this though, bro. You know, let's be understanding this about this. Nobody, no human being on the face of this earth has ever created a system as good as God. Understand what I'm coming at. Nobody has ever created a system that is as good as God's system. So we're going to have flaws.
Man. So when you saying like as good as God, meaning that He created human, now given a kind of capitalizing off your free will. Do you know, bro, that in order for you to be free from slavery, it wasn't just a piece of paper. You want to know what was the main thing was to be free from slavery?
Well, what was the main thing from being free from slavery?
Yeah, what was the main thing that a slave, when a slave found out this, it wasn't considered a slave no more. You know what it was?
What?
He found out that when he found out that his slave master can kill him, he was free from being a slave.
Okay, say that again. Repeat that one more time so I can get a clear understanding. I know the people got to get a clear understanding.
All right, I'm gonna say it one more time, all right? Then I'm going to dissect it. You know what it was when a slave master had to figure this out, right? They knew this already. But when a slave found out that if my slave master couldn't kill me, I was free from slavery. When I knew that you couldn't kill me, it wasn't no point of you trying to. If I'm not scared of you no more, meaning that the only thing between life and death is fear. Okay?
Correct. Correct.
If I know that I'm not fearful of you anymore, what's the purpose of handling damaged goods? I'm a disgruntled worker. I'm a tear up your herd. You feel me?
I feel you.
Man, dude. So now we know what the 9th and the 10th Amendment is, right? See, Charles, you didn't hear the 14th Amendment Part 1. You heard Part 2. Part 2 was just like the nucleus of all this. All right? So I want you to hear Part 1, the build-up of Part 2, okay?
Okay.
Man, it's about 4 minutes and 29 seconds, all right? I want you to pay attention to it, man, and dissect it.
Okay.
For the people, man, we got about an hour left, man, less than 59 minutes, man. Y'all want to call in? 347-838-9106. Call in, you know what I'm saying? If y'all want to elaborate with us, man, feel free. All right, let's go.
Given what most Americans believe, the next statement may be more shocking than any previous. The fact is, the United States is not a country, but a corporation contractually created by the Constitution. Your state is a country, per the law, and your original citizenship is of that country. Our founders instituted themselves to be first and foremost citizens of their respective states. As of 1787, those states already had formed a union, and they created the Constitution for the purpose of perfecting that union in forming a national government. They did not intend that the new nation have any jurisdiction or powers over the states or their citizens that were not specifically enumerated in the Constitution. They stated this point quite clearly in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. They granted the United States exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may become the seat of the government of the United States, our District of Columbia, and to exercise authority over all places purchased by the consent of the states. And that is all. The framers further secured the rights of the people with the 9th and 10th Amendments in the Bill of Rights. In the 9th, they established that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And in the 10th, they made clear that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The only way the federal government can have any jurisdiction beyond these constitutional clauses is by written permission or contract. Which leads us to another piece of the puzzle, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified in 1868 following the Civil War. As barbaric as it may sound today, the black slaves, prior to the conclusion of the Civil War, were legally considered to be property, with none of the rights or privileges of free-born people, only duties. The money interests took advantage of America's desire to free the slaves and found a way to use the swiftly adopted post-war constitutional amendments to enslave all of the people. The deceit is in the wording of both the 13th and 14th Amendments. You will note that the 13th Amendment provides that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the United States. But why the emphasis on involuntary servitude? Isn't it the same thing as slavery? Sure it is. But they had to mention the concept of involuntary servitude because they wished to retain another type of slavery, voluntary servitude. Voluntary servitude is an ancient and established concept. It was the way serfs became subjects to their lords during feudal times in England and other European countries. It was a way for free men to earn a living at a time when all property was held by a select few, and thus anyone who wanted to farm and support their family had first to agree to be subject to a lord of the land. Our forefathers hated this concept and designed our Constitution to exclude titles of nobility, making all Americans sovereign. The 14th Amendment turned the intention of the founders on its ear by making voluntary servitude a requirement for former slaves to gain the rights already guaranteed to free-born United States citizens. When the slaves were released from their involuntary servitude following the war, their status was changed from that of being property to that of being a person. But being a person still entitled them to none of the rights associated with citizenship. So the 14th Amendment ostensibly was written to provide the former slaves with the same constitutional rights of freeborn American citizens, but only if they agreed first to become subject to the jurisdiction of the corporate United States, making oneself paramount.
Wow.
They said, man, when they came back, they wrote this in. So it's like, man, we went to war to go fight. We're going to free you. Oh, man, yeah, you free, man. But I tell you what, man, sign this piece of paper, man. You only going to be, you going to get so much citizenship within the jurisdiction of your state. So that means, like, okay, perfect example. I have Illinois driver's license. You drive anywhere in Illinois. But let's say I go to Florida. I'm not a part of your jurisdiction. I got to surrender my Illinois driver's license and get Florida driver's license. And I got to follow their rules and regulations of their state now. And what if they say, okay, well, slavery only gives you 10% of the civil rights. People. You know, I know Charles said,
Now that we know, do we want to know? Now that we know, what can we do to change it? You know, those are the good questions, man. To me, I want to know. You know, for me to change it is, if I don't have the power right now, man, I can't do nothing but follow the rules and regulations until I can, you know, figure out what I can do to make changes. You know, my changes right now is freedom of speech. I'm voicing my freedom of speech right now. I can say whatever I want to say, pretty much. But I got to be careful because it could be incriminating. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you can say what you want to say. Yeah, you got that free right. But, you know, that's what's going to violate the Fifth Amendment. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what I'm saying? You know, I could incriminate myself and let me be quiet on certain things. So, man, so that 14th Amendment, man, is like really big, man. As far as the African-American people, man, and slavery, you know what I'm saying, went to war, they came back. I'm just breaking it down, man, to give you a bigger picture of the rainbow. You go to war, you fight the war, they say you free. But you got to sign this piece of paper. It only gives you certain jurisdiction. If you're from Illinois, you got the jurisdiction of Illinois. You're a citizenship of the United States of America. Yeah, you can go anywhere you want to, but you got to follow rules and regulations in different states. All right? We all know that. But now that you're pretty much aware, you know why they're doing this now. You know, Charles, when I was, I don't know, Charles, if you heard what I was pretty much saying, man. You go to war, right?
Yeah.
Let's do it like this, Charles. You're a slave, right? You, I say, hey, man, you're going to be free, man. You go to war. You come back from the war. We win the war. You come back. I say, hey, man, you free, man, but you got to sign this paper, man. You got certain jurisdiction to do whatever you need to do. You got certain citizenship, just like everybody, every Caucasian has right now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sign this paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
To be the lord of the land.
Okay.
You see a better understanding with it now? Like I was saying to the people, man, that the jurisdiction meaning that, okay, forget it. Let me break it down like this. I have Illinois driver's license.
Okay.
I can drive anywhere in the state of Illinois. Now, if I'm visiting other states, it's okay. But if I'm planning on living in that state, I got to surrender my Illinois driver's license and pick up whatever state those licenses are because I'm in their jurisdiction now. I got to follow their rules and regulations now. Now, certain clauses might be like, man, I might have more freedom in Illinois than I will in the state of Florida. Okay? State of Florida might have, okay, you only get 30% of the citizenship because you're African-American. That's the big difference with the paperwork that you sign. You see how crazy that is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dude, the 9th and the 10th Amendment goes hand in hand, man. It's so crazy, dog. And then the way that it's reworded, like the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment is only you're free from slavery. Unless, you know, you get arrested, then you are considered slavery to the state. Now it's called, instead of involuntary work, it don't matter, you're a slave now. That's the difference between the 13th and the 14th Amendment. It's the solitude of work. If I'm doing it voluntary or involuntary. I have a right. Yeah, you have a right. But that's where it goes to the Fifth Amendment. You can incriminate yourself, too.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I was telling people, like it's certain things that I can do. Like I'm exercising one of my amendment rights. I'm doing freedom of speech. So, you know, that's what we do the radio show, because we freedom of speech. But it's still certain things that I gotta, you know, tiptoe around too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like when you learn your amendments, man, it's like playing. It's like, okay, right now when you don't know your amendments or your rights or your what's going on with Congress or anything like that, you're playing checkers. It's fun. But when you start learning amendments and what's going on right now, you're playing chess now. When you master the chess game, it's like, okay, now I want to know how to play Chinese checkers. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all a mind thing, man. What you think, man?
Man, you know, I remember my father told me this one time. You want to try to be as free as possible because you are already a slave. You just want to be as free as possible because no matter which way you go, you're going to be a slave to something. And we're slaves to bills every day. Every month you got to pay a bill. Gas, light. Some people got to pay the water bill. Somebody got to just pay rent, which pays all those other little bills. But you are a slave to something every day. You're a slave to something. And the sad thing about it is on top of that, our system tries to enslave you even more. Where you going? You can't go there in the street. You got to be in the house at a certain time. You can't walk down the street and with an open bottle of beer. Why not? I just bought it and paid for it. Why I can't? If I'm going to get drunk and get into a fight, I'm going to get drunk and get into a fight. This open bottle of beer ain't going to stop me. We play so many games. Our system plays so many games with our lives. It's just like, wow. And that's all you can say is, wow. So, I'm going to be honest, man. I'm just trying to figure my way through this system that we're in. And hopefully I can come out with as much as my shirt on my back as possible. And that's just to be honest. I just want to be able to walk away with as much as my shirt on my back as possible.
And when you break that down, elaborate for me on that, man. When you say that, man, you said that you use it. Break it down to me and let me clarify you real quick.
What I mean by come out with as much shirt on my back as possible, meaning it's already cold as I don't know what out here. You know, I want to have as many garments on my back so I won't be as cold, meaning I want to be at least be comfortable. So I pay my bills so I won't get locked up. I go get me a regular 9-to-5 so I won't get locked up. I do all these things so I won't become a victim of circumstances.
I got you. You know, I didn't want to break, I wanted you to finish out what you were saying. I just basically said, man, I like the questions that you were saying earlier. You was like, do we want to know? And if we want to know, what are we going to do about it?
Well, I think the first thing that we should know, I think the first thing that we should know and concentrate on is economic empowerment. it's the first thing that we should concentrate in gain control over is economic empowerment. When you understand economics, then you can understand the whole the system that you're playing in. What's up, Cat? I'm doing all right, baby. I'm doing all right. Oh, okay, okay. That's what's up. Where you? What's? So at the end of the day, economic empowerment is able to change things. You are able to actually change things. The system that we're living in right now, the way it's able to run is through finances. When you're able, when you buy property, you own it. When you own it, you are able to facilitate what it needs to do. So if I have a slave, I can rent the slave out for XYZ dollars. This is how much I want for this slave. Give me this much money for this slave. And you'll pay for this slave because it's something that you need. Understand, supply and demand. We have to learn economic power in order to change the system that we're living in. But now the question is, do you want to change it all the way? Because the truth of the matter is, taxes that we pay does facilitate for certain things. What does it facilitate for? The Army, national security. We are at war 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How are we able to afford all of these missiles, so on and so forth? How are you going to pay for these people who would only operate these missiles? Operate the tanks, the guns, so on and so forth. Because man is always going to be at war with another man. That's already, if history has not taught you anything else, man is always at war with another man. There's this thing, the saying of peace is no, there is no such thing as peace. There is no such thing as peace. Man will always be at war with another man. So looking at economic power and strength and what you are doing with the taxes and money, do you really want to get rid of the system? Does the system actually work and help to provide for people? People are on Section 8. Section 8 is another form.
They was talking about that too, how Section 8, it pretty much segregates the family. It gives that female a little bit more power. If depending on who got Section 8, okay? Let's say the female got Section 8. Not throwing it to the gives it to the female and the kid. Now, if I'm a working man, all right, and I'm gonna break it down in two ways. If I'm a working man and I'm coming to live and they say, okay, well, you can have Section 8, but the people that's on your lease, it can only be your kids. It can't be the man that's working, right? Unless
mm-hmm.
that man was there with you with homelessness as well. Then if he was there with you from day one to homelessness, then that way he can be on that lease as well, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
let's say, for instance, okay, I'm working. But we're not making enough money to get the rent and nothing like that, right? So that woman get that Section 8. Not only she get Section 8, she get WIC, food stamps, link cards, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I have this much in me, if love is not the in our relationship and we going off of Section 8, you pretty much don't need that man no more, because now Section 8 is taking care of the family.
Correct.
Now, if you're working a hard-working man and you want to beat that, you're going to say, hey, man, you know what? I'm going to get this job, or I'm going to work, or I'm going to own my own business. I'm going to figure out how to make some resources, some human resources work for me. Whereas we don't need that no more, and it won't be in our business as much. Because when you're on Section 8, man, you got to surrender all your bank statements. You got to surrender with your job hours. You got to surrender all this. Well, they could get the information they really, really want to. So if that's been a privately owned company,
but they could get it if they want to. But see, the thing about it is they already got it. They just want to see how forthright and honest you're going to be with the situation. That's the catch 22. They already got it. They already got all that information. Once you put your name on the dotted line, they're going to type it in, and all your stuff going to come up. And they're going to say, hey, listen here. Let's be clear about this. Now I want you to give me all of this. They want to see how forthright you are. And you come out and you being forthright with everything, then okay, we'll give this to you. But then again, yes, like you said, yes, that is another form of slavery because the black man, it no longer can stay in that house.
Go on, let's see.
Hello?
Hello? Okay, look, hey, check it out, man. You can finish what you were saying. We're going to play a quick song, man, and then we're going to come back in and dissect it down, man. And it's that Kanye West, man, New Slaves.
My mama was raised in the era when clean water was only served to the fairer skin. Doing clothes you would have thought I had help, but they wasn't satisfied unless I... My mama was raised in the era when clean water was only served to the fairer skin. Doing clothes you would have thought I had help, but they wasn't satisfied unless I picked the cotton myself. You see it's broke, nigga racing, that don't touch anything in itself. And it's rich, nigga racing, that come in piece by more. What you want? A Bentley, fur coat, a diamond chain? All you blacks want all the same. My mama was raised in the era when clean water was only served to the fairer skin. Doing clothes you would have thought I had help, but they wasn't satisfied unless I picked the cotton myself. You see it's broke, nigga racing, that don't touch anything in the stove. And it's rich, nigga racing, that come in piece by more. What you want? A Bentley, fur coat, a diamond chain? All you blacks want all the same thing. You can only be niggas. Spinning anything on Alexander Wang, new slave. You see his leader and his followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. You see his leader and his followers, but I'd rather be a dick than a swallower. I wear my heart on the sleeve. I know it be a new slave. I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves. I know that we the new slaves. I see the blood on the leaves. They throwing hate at me. Want me to stay at ease. Fuck you and your corporation. Y'all niggas can't control me. I know that we the new slave. I know that we the new slave. I'm about to ride the fuck out. I'm going Bobby Boucher. I know that pussy ain't free. You niggas pussy ain't me. Y'all throwing contracts at me. You know that niggas can't read. Don't want some Maybach keys. Fuck it, say la vie. I know that we the new slave. Y'all niggas can't fuck with me. Y'all niggas can't fuck with ye. Y'all niggas can't fuck with ye. I move my family out the country so you can't see where I stay. So go and grab the reporter so I can smash that recorder. Say that confused with some bullshit like the New World Order. Meanwhile, the DEA teamed up with the CCA. They try to lock niggas up. They try to make new space. See, that's that probably on prison. Get your peace today. They probably y'all in the Hamptons bragging about what they made. Fuck you and your Hampton house. I fuck your Hampton spouse. Came on a Hampton blouse and in a Hampton mouth. Y'all about to turn shit up. I'm about to tear shit down. I'm about to air shit out. Now what the fuck they gonna say now?
Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Hey, yo, Ace, I'm having a hard time getting my mixtape heard. You know where I can go get my mixtape heard?
Yeah, bro, just go check out Western World 1. You got to have your bars ready. You got to have it clean. Make sure it don't be whack. You got to be entertaining, bro. Go to westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com.
Yeah, that's right. Get your mixtape heard each and every Friday here. WesternWorld1.com. That's www.WESTONWORLDONE.com. Get that mixtape. Get it to us. Check it out. That's how we do it. Each and every Friday. Each and every 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go.
The Western World 1 Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorld1.com. Until now. By using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. westernworld1.com.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertisement at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
That was the perfect song. The perfect song.
You see what's on here?
Hello?
Hey, for the people out there, man, that's our Charles Gosh, the daughter, man. Well, man, anyway, man, I have to play that song, man, because, man, that's where we are, man. We, well, I mean, it's not just where we all have to understand. It's not just African-Americans are slaves. See, when the forefathers got mad about this 14th Amendment stuff here, they made everybody slaves. Because they're capitalizing off of everything now. When she was birthed here, when God blew that breath in your nostrils, the world was like, okay. The forefathers was like, okay, let me sign a birth certificate. Give them social security number. Make them pay. And that's what they doing, man. So, you know, I know you were saying, like, God, man, that was the perfect song, huh?
That was the perfect song. Kanye West, The New Slave. And in actuality, one thing I hate to say, you know, and I hear a lot of brothers, you know, this person is a part of the Illuminati. This, that, and the other, so on and so forth. But it's, what is so amazing is that they're so much of a part of this organization, and that organization is supposed to be a part of enslaving you and taking your soul and everything. They sure tell you a whole lot of information.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's
they
what
sure tell
man.
You. They sure put out a lot of stuff. 2 Chainz ain't told you that you was the new slave. Young Jeezy ain't told you that you was the new slave.
Well,
but you
that
to
goes
talk
back
about
to the that goes back to the back to the crab in the barrel effect. Let me tell you something, man. On my job, right? All right, on my job, it don't really have nothing to do with slavery, right? Okay, it has something to do with the crab in the barrel effect. Okay, I've been on my job, let's say 2.5+ years, right? And
Let me touch on this. But the crabs in the barrel is still another form of slavery. Because when the slaves were still out here, they was like, come on, remember we watched the movie Malcolm X? Malcolm X said, the field nigga be like telling the house nigga, come on, let's run away. Let's you go, move away from this cruel master. And the house nigga will turn around and say, why would you want to do that? What's better than what we have here?
Wow.
Same effect. Crabs in the barrel is still a slave. because at the end of the day, because one wants to be free, the other one wants to still be in the conditions that he in, because he can't see past the conditions that he's in. He can't say, well, you know what, let me take what little bit I got right now and build it to be something greater than I.
Wow.
Because at the end of the day, I own this. I'm free. Yes, I got to pay bills, but I'm free.
Did that mean that you're only free in your own castle, meaning your own crib, your own property? When you come out, you're not free no more?
Well, I still understand that I'm free in my own castle, and I'm free to a certain degree when I come out of that castle. Free to a certain degree when I come out of that castle. Because I still have to abide by the certain guidelines that has been displayed to me.
Wow.
I still have to abide by the guidelines. And let's be clear, people. Without laws and rules, it would be every man for himself, and it would be nothing but anarchy. Let's be clear about this. We can say whatever we want to say about the system that we live in. It is a cruel and messed up system. The system is adopted by man. Man is not perfect. Man wants to play God. He is not God. So at the end of the day, ever since we have been on this universe, the sun has always rose in the east, rose in the east and set in the west, and it has never deviated from that system. Never has ever deviated from that system. But man has deviated from the systems that he has made because he is not God. And when you take God out of the midst of things, and I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about God. When you take God out of the midst of things, then that's when you start to become, have a problem, because you remove God out of the system, not man. God. Man is a religion. God is everything.
Spiritual.
So I am free. I am free when I leave my castle to a degree, because I still have to abide by the laws that have been displayed upon me in order for mankind to achieve certain goals. A simple system is here that we have here in America. You drive on the right, and you go in one direction, you're on the right side of the street. When they're on the other, the left side is coming.
But I heard that this came from Kanye West, man. Yeah, you got to go in with your elbows sitting straight up, you know, and the way he had his elbows up, they both was up, and it was like at chi level, okay? You know, you standing in the stance, you got your elbows up. He said, because the way it's going to happen is, if somebody pulling you from the right, at least your elbow is up to go shift to the left. So you ain't really falling, or you ain't really, your whole body level is not really shifting back when somebody pull you back in that direction, because you still have a way for your elbow that's pointing the other way to keep moving. He said that's what he do. He said that when you think that a person is in the box, he already jumped out of it, because this is what you think that I'm already being labeled as. And that's where it goes with the crab and the barrel effect. You got two hands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once that person get up, and that's what I'm saying, they probably looking to get out, but they looking at a light. They see something that they all trying to channel towards to get out, right? And we call it the king of the hill, because whoever's on top have a better chance to be the king to get up out of the situation, right? The king of a senseless, useless mountain, okay?
Now, we both got these hands, and once that person go up, you already know the effect. Once that person go up, they pull them down. But then, like Farrakhan said, the master grab you and they pull you out. And this way it goes with my job. On my job, been on, man. I won many awards in the system and everything with the job. And a lot of people on my team like, man, dog, you should have been moved up in your position, period. But instead of moving me up in my position, because they knew the type of power and the mentality that I do have, you can kind of intimidate people. If I don't have no control over you, why would I put you in a position of power to where you could probably outshine me and take my job? So let me put somebody in a position of power where I could control them and forever be indebted for the fact of the favors that I did for you, and that's where it goes to quid pro quo. I'm forever in your debt. Thank you for helping me. And all I did was open the door for you to go through it because you utilizing your skills to do the job. All that you need to be doing to me is thanking me that you gave me that opportunity to move forward. But I'm not supposed to praise you because you're not God. It says it like that in the Bible. Don't praise nobody. If they, you know, humans are made to let you down. If you're going to praise a human being, then you might as well not worship God. That's when God gets jealous because you're taking away his creation. You know, if I created you, but I'm over here worshiping this person is a false prophet or a false god, but I'm making that person my god, a golden calf, my god, oh yeah, you're going to be punished. So, enough of that, man. Let me get up out of it. The 9th, 10th Amendment, right? And the 9th, 10th, and the 14th Amendment, bro. I want to play it in its order. Like, I want to play the 9th and the 10th Amendment first. Then I don't want to play part one again. Then I want to play part two again, okay? Because the people I know, they called in. I mean, a lot of people called in, man. They're not hitting that one button. They listen in online. 347-838-9106. It's pretty much... You pretty much don't have to call in now because we're down to our last 20 minutes. I know once Charles get a win or something, man, he gone. He going to need all this time to utilize it. you know what I'm saying? We got to get respect where respect is due. And people, man, I just want to play it in its entirety. And once I play it in its entirety, we're going to go ahead. We're going to give our closing remarks on it, man. We're going to pretty much shut it down. But I won't, man. But Charles, how you feel about all this so far, though? Before I play everything,
you know, I like that it is brought to the table, the forefront, as far as what is written. We have to understand something that we're not being spoken about, as far as our amendment, so on and so forth. I think what we need to do, though, in the same breath of air, is re-educate people upon certain elements, like what is it that you love to do, and then take that and facilitate that as far as making that your passion and your goal in order to make money. And then once you start to make some interest, once you start making revenue, then what is it that you do with the revenue in order to empower yourself? That way you can become less of a slave, or you have a way to get away from, you have a way to get away from the status quo of being a slave. You know, so at the end of the day, it's more or less like, this is empowering you to understand what I need to set in place so I can be less of a slave here in the United States. Because we're all slaves. It's, to what degree are you going to be the slave? Are you going to be the house nigga? Are you going to be the field nigga? The field nigga that had no rights. He was fucked up. He was sleeping in the rain. Sometimes he had a shack. It was cold. They threw a blanket on him, but they ain't insulated. They ain't do all the stuff. He wasn't in no fire, no, you know, what, kept him warm and stuff. He was the field Negro. You got the lesser of. And the house Negro got the leftover meat, leftover clothes. But, hey, let's be clear. I would rather have a some leftover clothes than just a rag on my body, just a towel on my body. So at the end of the day, this is just doing any. This is doing everything but trying to say, hey, I want you to be less of a slave. I want you to be a house Negro. And then after you become a house Negro, I don't want you to be the house Negro anymore. I want you just to be a Negro. And then from being a Negro, I want you to be a man and stand up as a man. And when you stand up as a man, you can't do nothing. Every nationality on the face of this earth will respect you because you are nothing but a man.
That's right.
So it's step to this thing. Start taking the necessary steps in order to get where you need to get to. So that's what I love about it.
Love it, man. Look, man, this is what I'm gonna do here, man, because I know we down to the last little teams. I'm gonna break it down from. I'm gonna play it all the way through from the 9th to 10th Amendment all the way to the 14th Amendment because we closed down our remarks. I want you
okay.
to elaborate on all of it, man, because I'm gonna play it straight. I'm not gonna play no commercials. I'm gonna go straight into it. It's the first time we ever doing this on the Charles Bastard Show. Special edition. So after that, then you give out your closing remarks, okay?
Okay.
All right. There we go. The First Amendment here is the 9th and the 10th Amendment, all right?
Okay.
He really didn't go into the 10th Amendment real hard, but I'm going to let you guys know. The 10th Amendment is basically the power that is not delegated by the United States of America, the Constitution, nor prohibited by the states. Meaning that the constitutional rights is not really saying that, you know, it's clear by the government powers. The only way that stuff can be delegated or can be executed is you got to sign a piece of paper. That's what the 10th Amendment is talking about. The 9th Amendment is basically talking about, okay, if I have a baby, you know, say, is that my right? Is it illegal to have a child? No. Can I go travel across any world, any states, or whatever? Yes, I can. It's my rights. They're just saying that the 9th Amendment is saying that the Bill of Rights don't really have everything in it. It just said the first 10, which, you know, is 10. The Bill of Rights is 10 amendments, the 1 through 10. It's the Bill of Rights, saying that those are, like, the mainly the most important things to get the majority out the way as far as support our constitutional rights. But we can do everything. We can go outside and, you know, curse. Are they trying to stop that? That's crazy. Which is cool. I'm not tripping on that. But that's what that is. I have to break down the 9th and the 10th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment is basically, it's going to speak for itself when I play that clip, B. So you want me to break down the 9th, 10th Amendment and 14th Amendment when we play it in this order?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
The 9th and 10th Amendments. If you're only going to memorize two, memorize these. The 9th and 10th Amendments work like bookends. The Founding Fathers were really, really smart guys. They had studied the Greeks, the Romans. They had studied just about every democracy that had existed prior to 1776. They understood people. They understood that they were mortal. They understood that they were fallible. And they understood that there were flaws in the Constitution. So they set up to try to close the loopholes. The 9th Amendment. They didn't write really well. It was kind of like the end of the day. They wanted to go home. So they're poorly worded as far as I'm concerned. But the 9th Amendment says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other rights retained by the people. Enumeration, listing, numbering. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about your right to have children? No. Do you have a right to have children? Yeah. Does the Bill of Rights say anything about the right to travel? No. Do you have a right to travel? Yes. And so the Ninth Amendment basically says the Bill of Rights is not a comprehensive list. We don't have enough paper to write down all of the rights that you have. These were just some of the ones that we thought were most important. I don't agree with Alexander Hamilton a lot, but Alexander Hamilton says you really don't want a Bill of Rights. Why would you make a partial list? I know it sounds really, really crazy, but if you write a Bill of Rights, if you put a small modified list and add it to the Constitution, somebody down the line is going to come up with this really crazy idea that the Bill of Rights are the only rights that you have, and if it's not listed in the Bill of Rights, you can't do it. Hypothetical, huh?
Man, that was crazy when he said hypothetical comment, because that's what we, us people right now, we the people of the United States of America, we think that the Bill of Rights 1 through 10 is really what we only... It's only our only rights.
Go
there
ahead.
You go. I really want to play part two because part two is really important. I'm a man. We ain't got enough time.
Given what most Americans believe, the next statement may be more shocking than any previous. The fact is, the United States is not a country, but a corporation contractually created by the Constitution. Your state is a country, per the law, and your original citizenship is of that country. Our founders instituted themselves to be first and foremost citizens of their respective states. As of 1787, those states already had formed a union, and they created the Constitution for the purpose of perfecting that union in forming a national government. They did not intend that the new nation have any jurisdiction or powers over the states or their citizens that were not specifically enumerated in the Constitution. They stated this point quite clearly in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. They granted the United States exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may become the seat of the government of the United States, our District of Columbia, and to exercise authority over all places purchased by the consent of the states. And that is all. The framers further secured the rights of the people with the Ninth and Tenth Amendments in the Bill of Rights. In the Ninth, they established that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And in the Tenth, they made clear that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The only way the federal government can have any jurisdiction beyond these constitutional clauses is by written permission or contract. Which leads us to another piece of the puzzle, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, ratified in 1868 following the Civil War. As barbaric as it may sound today, that is, first, subject to the jurisdiction of the laws of the United States, however, limits access to parts of the Bill of Rights, as we'll explain in a moment. But first, remember, anyone who voluntarily subjects himself to the laws or jurisdiction of another is, in every way, obligated to abide by the terms of any contracts or laws established by whomever establishes the rules of the contract. In simple terms, this meant that the former slaves became subjects first to the United States, and secondly to the state in which they lived. They had no sovereignty whatsoever. This status had never existed in the United States prior to that time. The 14th Amendment created a new class of citizenship in the United States. a second-class citizenship. Up until 1868, every American was a paramount citizen of their state, and by virtue of that, also a citizen of the United States, with full individual sovereignty as guaranteed by Amendments 9 and 10 in the Bill of Rights. But so-called naturalized citizens, or 14th Amendment citizens, are paramountly subject to all laws of the United States, and, having no status as freeborn citizens, have no access at all to the unenumerated rights retained for the people by Articles 9 and 10 of the Bill of Rights. That's because, in order to get any rights at all, they had to subject themselves to the jurisdiction of the corporate United States, which left them no unenumerated rights. The only rights they had were those specifically written into the Constitution. The sad tragedy of America today is that all U.S. citizens, regardless of race, are now 14th Amendment slaves due to contracts with the government of the United States through Social Security, birth certificates, driving licenses, citizenship statements, tax forms, and many other documents. The true paramount citizenship that all Americans deserve is that of their respective state, which is a sovereign citizenship. Such status would exempt them from federal and state income taxes, as well as property and inheritance taxes. This sovereign citizenship was the status held by our forefathers. Now, if you're still thinking that the U.S. government needs to have a central bank and collect income tax or it will collapse, think again. Over two-thirds of the federal government's income is derived from sources other than income tax. There is even evidence suggesting that none of your income tax is used by the government. Fees, excise taxes, tariffs, sales taxes, and other forms of income have easily supported the U.S. budget in the past and could easily support it now. We have done without a national bank for large stretches of our history, and the U.S. Treasury is perfectly capable of printing and managing a money supply. In fact, the only constitutionally sanctioned currency is backed by gold or other precious metals. This is a far more stable form of currency and is the type of money the Treasury was designed to handle. The government was doing so well collecting money under these original laws that it had amassed a huge surplus by the time this cartoon was penned 100 years later in 1887, when there still was no income tax collected at all. Up to this point, we have shown you how the money interests have, one, established the Federal Reserve System, and two, exploited a second class of citizenship created by the 14th Amendment for other purposes, and we have mentioned a few names involved in the creation of the Fed. But there are other organizations working for our economic enslavement as well, along with other extremely rich and powerful international bankers. Those who support the Fed have created a global movement to centralize economic power in various puppet organizations that preach peace and stability through some variation of socialism, but act aggressively to draw nations into a web of foreign debt and servitude to their agenda. The United Nations, the World Monetary Fund, and the Council on Foreign Relations are all committed to an agenda of world domination through manipulation of economic power. The Council on Foreign Relations openly admits to being a private club, yet it is the primary recruiting post in both international banking and the federal government of the United States. Richard Nixon, Nelson Rockefeller, John Foster Dulles, Dean Rusk, Alger Hiss, Robert S. McNamara, and every president since FDR, with the exception of John Kennedy, have been members of this exclusive club where super financiers and your elected representatives can mix freely and plan the next step in the consolidation of power in a new world order.
You heard that?
Yes.
New World Order. Now you know, baby. So for John F. Kennedy, everybody else is, what is it, exempt or non-exempt? Exempt? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not a black president.
He's exempt too.
Wow.
He's exempt too. Oh, he was exempt. He was exempt for the color of his skin. He just in there.
Man, it's just sad, Charles.
Let's be clear. He's exempt because of the color of his skin. He's just in there. And he got in there because of the simple reason why, hey, listen, this other guy messed up the system of finance is here. So all the way up until, and it actually, they said Nixon. So every other president after Nixon messed up the finances and kept getting worse and worse. So if they kept getting worse and worse, every other president after that, hey, listen, we got to do something. We got to make a change somewhere. And this is where we're going to make that change at.
It was deliberate, man. If you trying to get a new world order, so what we gonna do? We gonna make it seem like we messed up. But if we didn't mess up, the only thing that was really managed was the what? Gold, silver. God's creation, right? Gold, silver is minerals. Paperback is what man's created. So you can create the money. But the thing is, with the mineral, you can't. You got to go in them caves and dig that gold up, B. You know, you got to go down there and dig them diamonds up in that water. You know, selenium, whatever that was back there in Africa, man, how they torturing them people on them blood diamonds, man. Man, we only got about 30 seconds, man. We have more time, man. But, man, what? Charles Bassett, man.
I'm gonna say this real quick.
20 seconds ago.
Understand this. Financial institutions is what controls our government. Bottom line, understand economics. When you understand economics, then you can understand the system that we're living in. If you don't understand the economic system, all the other stuff is hogwash. Doesn't mean anything. Get control of your money. Understand where your money is going towards. Make money powerful for you, not powerful for someone else.
Do you need or know someone that needs advertisement at an affordable rate? Well, you've tuned in to the right place. Get a commercial for as low as $30. That's right, $30. Find out more info. Email us at westernworld1@yahoo.com. That's westernworld1@yahoo.com.
What's up, people, man? It's your boy Dennis Live. Hey, check it out, man. We just asking that you know, go download that mobile app. Go to Google Play Store. It's absolutely free. Key search westernworld1.com. It's WESTERNWORLDONE. That's all you got to type in. It's free. And also, too, man, we added a new feature, man. It's the donation button. All we doing is just asking you people, man, hey, you know, donate to us. We're going to take that and we're going to put all proceeds towards Western World 1 Network to make it better, to make it easier for you guys to view us, listen to us online, and pretty much we're going to take this to YouTube so that way you can kind of see who we are and what we do and how we do and how we operate. Other than that, man, thank you so much for even just hitting that button and just clicking following us, hitting that button just to show that you do like on Facebook or even just Instagram. You just pretty much just showing us, man, how much the growth that we have developed over the years. Actually, not years, months. We only been up not even 6 months, right? A little bit longer than 6 months, whatever, I don't know. Anyway, man, that's all we want you to do, man. Download that app, westernworld1.com. You can go there or Google Play Store, key search westernworld1, or you can follow us on here, man. Man, thank you so much, man. Again, all the donations that you do donate to us, you know, it will not go into shambles, man. We're going to take that and we're going to utilize that, man, to the best of our knowledge, man. As you can see, we had added two or three additions to the Western World 1 Network. We got Tiffany Thompson, what she's doing, the Spiritual Wednesdays, where she's going to take the Bible-based information, scriptures out of the Bible, and she's going to use it in our everyday lifestyle and things that we can do. Then you got Thursday with DJ Disco, one of the hottest pioneer DJs all over the world, man. I mean, this boy
boy here, man, is just, man, phenomenal, man. This boy just get on that music, man, and play it like it's no other. Then you got Sundays with Charles Baxter, where he's talking about political things of whatever's happening up today, self-help, motivation, what you can do with yourself, how you can implement things. I mean, we're just doing it all, man. You already liking us on Facebook. The fan base is tremendously growing. But all we have to ask for you to do now is to just donate to us. You know, you go there, hit the donation button. We go through PayPal. It's real simple, real easy. Just whatever you want to contribute to us, we take it and we utilize it. We put all the proceeds towards Western World One Network. Again, thank you so much, man. It's your boy Dennis Live. Peace out.